Good evening.
Good evening.
I hope you're well, and I hope your holiday was wonderful.
Oh, it was. It was.
Good.
And yours?
Absolutely. Just for the record, you are the first.
Okay. I probably will be the most tired.
The most what?
The most tired.
Oh, I'm not so sure that's true.
Well, we probably would, both of us could run a contest, couldn't we?
Yeah, we can. Any day of the week. Three times on Sunday.
Right. Has joined.
Good evening.
Evening.
Nice to hear your voice, Brandy.
Thank you. Nice to hear yours too.
So we will begin. We are studying from the Sulam Commentary on the Zohar, from Parashat Vayera, section 20, verse 258. We'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud kudcha b'richu ishkin teibid kilu urchimu utkilu utkilu urchimu le'achta l'shem yud hei bovavhe v'yichud ashalim b'shem kol Yisrael l'imud Torah mitzvah La Soktora Mitzvah. By Hino Amadunai Elohino Elena Maseya Deno Kananeh Elena Maseya Deno Kananeh. Rabbi Yitzhak, Rabbi Yehuda, Hawo Hazle Biarcha. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Le Rabbi Yitzhak Dina, Ta Aved Kucha Barihu Baba Abu. Dina di Sodom Darvaihu Dinin Kehidom Awo Begin Dehayave Kehinom Itanu Bamaya Uesha. The translation: as they were walking, Rabbi Yehuda said to Rabbi Yitzhak, the judgment that the Holy One, blessed be He, executed at the Great Flood and the judgment of Sodom were both judgments of Gehinnom, because the sinners in Gehinnom are punished by water and fire. My commentary: this verse is clear as written. If the effect of two judgments are the same, can they have the same cause? Or can they have a different cause? If the effect is different, can they have the same cause? Commentary by Bracha. Hashem is our executor, solely. He keeps us informed on His plans when we are on task with our Torah studies and doing good deeds. If we are staying too far from the fences, or straying too far from the fences of Torah. This passage is a reminder to us that we are to stay alert and heed His voice, even at the slightest moment. The questions to ask ourselves: do we recognize Hashem's voice? Have we distinguished it from our two Yetzer voices, the Tov or Ra, that dwells inside of us? Do we know the difference on whom is influencing us? These are the basic questions to ask ourselves before we leap to something new or react without thinking through it at our moment at each moment's choices, without counting the possible consequences afterwards or on our choices, selected, or risking to convince we can take care of it later. Self-reflection is a discipline skill, requiring daily practice as we come to know our true selves, our mitzvot, our true selves from the outer influences around that strive to bid our attention away from our mitzvot with Torah studies, with prayer, with doing good deeds without motive. How often have you become distracted when you were planning to read your Torah for the day or begin your prayers? Note these promptings to keep you away from taking your daily antidote medicine to help your soul stronger within
has joined.
Make ourselves available to assist Hashem even at a moment's notice. The passage begins with the angels escorting Lot, his daughters and his wife outside of the city gates of Sodom, to escape the dire consequences about to be set in motion. When the angels set them free, they gave them explicit instructions, do not look back. The reasons were not given. Then the passage changes with instructions to not find yourself walking in the marketplace when judgments has been given. The reason is given here that those who live with Torah's right choice actions versus the ones who live without the laws of the Torah are both in jeopardy. The last example takes us to Noah hiding in the ark when the judgment was in motion of execution, meaning the ark's doors were closed and Noah with his family waited. So what is the lesson here for us to understand fully? It is a test. When Hashem gives instructions on what to do, do it as explained. No deviations when we heed the instructions of discipline that is given. We strengthen ourselves to begin listening and hearing Hashem's voice inside of ourselves from our Yetzer's influences. This is what these verses are reminding us to keep alert and aware as we come to know how to serve Hashem with our Yetzer's in union, not separation and striving for attention. Remember, our Yetzer Tov's voice is soft and gentle, and sometimes cannot be heard over the anxious, controlling Yetzer Hara's voice. Questions, comments, thoughts?
Well, that was pretty thorough.
Say again?
That was pretty thorough.
I would agree with you. But there were always a lot of questions that were being asked. And yes, they're rhetorical questions, meaning they're questions that each of us have to answer. But how often do we ask the questions? It's a good reminder.
Well, let me give you an example from yesterday. We received a message from one of the ladies that I got to know. She had to drive 45 minutes in order to come to my classes, and she brought her son and, you know, to learn Hebrew because he was going to make his bar mitzvah. Okay, they're grown. She was taking care of two sons. The youngest son graduated this past May, and he got a job offshore. And yesterday we received an emergency prayer request because, and his name is Daniel, which you know is God is my judge, and he was saying that he and the crew on the rig could not be rescued before Beta would come because the boat couldn't get to them. Okay, so you ask yourself, okay, how do I pray? I've been asked to pray. And what I got was Hashem makes a way where there supposedly is no way. And that I was supposed to sing that. Okay, so that's all I sing. Okay, I still haven't heard any news, but my son-in-law, who spent years, probably 25, since, well, maybe more than that, because he's in his 50s, late 50s, and he went to work offshore right after graduation, and he said twice he was in a situation like that,
and that the rigs were such that they could stand up to 100 miles an hour. So I had to make the choice. I can't tell you how many times I tried to be Shomer Shabbos on those two days of really one long day of Rosh Hashanah. But no matter what I did, something happened that I had to either do something that I wouldn't have normally done. But because he said he had gone through two like that, I felt like that would help calm the mother. I didn't send the message to her. I sent the message back to the rabbi because it was the rabbi who asked for prayer. And, I mean, that was my step-by-step process. But when I prayed, it wasn't just for that rig. It was for all the rigs. I mean, we didn't know if there would be more. They didn't say, you know, but learning that it needed, you know, we needed to make a vessel and that it needed to be a sharing prayer. Those were the steps that I went through in thinking. Now, I've not heard any news, but everything happened in that it didn't, Beta did not turn into a hurricane, and it weakened because of the dry air. The only thing about its slow speed is what's causing the rain. But the rain isn't as bad as they predicted. And so it's like just standing back and in between of having to deal with gutter leaking, you know, and having to work through that. And still, you know, everyone having to help either feed someone because they don't have the food or whatever. It's, you know, it's an energy. You need a lot of energy. And so could I say the normal prayers? No. So my choice, which I felt meant it came from Hashem, was to just constantly sing the Ma meditation over and over and over again, which was using Hashem's, to me, the sword. So does that kind of tell you the thought process that you have to go through while you're physically going through things not necessarily of your, you know, it wasn't really actually my property that, and or that we needed this. It was other people who needed our help. And the direction to ask Hashem about praying and then put into practice what you've taught us. That's it. I'm finished. Brandy.
My question is, everything what you say is absolutely correct. And the analysis, the step-by-step, makes perfect sense. Except I'm not clear if the beginning makes perfect sense.
What do you mean, the beginning?
When did the message come in asking you to pray?
I don't know. My phone was under the TV and it just flashed up. You know, I didn't even have to open it.
Your phone was under the TV, but it was on, correct?
Well, I just had it plugged in like I always do. It was, you know.
No, so, but the phone is on. The question is, but you didn't answer my question. What time did it flash up to you?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Remember, too much is going on.
That's what my question was. Everything
okay,
you went through in your analysis was the beginning. That was my question. You don't know. That's fine. You don't need to go any further.
Well, it's mainly because too much. Everything is running together. I didn't even know what day. A while ago, I had to ask, what day is today? Because yesterday, it was someone who needed food that had come into town. Her apartment was full of mold, and she didn't have anything to eat while she was trying to. At one time, they had been insurance adjusters. So she knew, you know, she knew what to do. And so she was, and then she's my age, so she's not, you know, anyway. So anyway, she came to the house to get food. You know, I don't look, to me, that's life. And so
I agree with you. There's no issue of using electricity when somebody comes in and needs the food. It is pekuah nefesh. There's no question about that. So that wasn't even, there's no process to that. She made a request and you complied. There was no process that you went through to say, yes, I have to go and what do I pray and so forth. You just knew the right thing to do. Whereas in your example, you have this whole process that you went through because you weren't sure. And that's the question that Bracha is asking. All of that process you went through, which I agree with you, you needed to go through that. That whole process is, which voice were you listening to? You don't really know. Was the rabbi a channel to you to pray from Hashem? Or was the rabbi a channel from the Yetzer Hara?
Well, frankly, I don't focus on the Yetzer Hara when it has to do with life. And when it has to, you would have to live through what this city has lived through to understand. And I don't care what kind of voice I hear, I'm going to cry out for Hashem's mercy. That's me.
And I cannot argue with you except to discuss.
I know what you mean. But you...
That's your choice. I understand. I'm not saying you're wrong.
I know. But you're trying to do little picky things. And the little picky things don't matter when it's like this. When the city is like this. And even if it was caused by sin, even if, you know, if it's people's reactions. To me, I see them as little ignorant children who don't know cause and effect. You know, they still think it's an act of God, or they think it's nature, or, you know, the farthest. It makes your heart cry out because that's what they are. But then if Hashem shows you how it's linked, all these hurricanes are linked to what I see. And this time with Beta, it was again words spoken against Israel. And the person who spoke them said, oh, the peace deal isn't really a peace deal. It's just a business deal. And to take the emphasis off of the COVID virus, you know, so that... because so many thousands are dying. Okay, well, those were words to me against Israel. But I knew that we had to forgive that person for saying it, because she was like the little ignorant children who really don't know what they're saying and what they're doing. And so to keep that positivity against a person who was speaking negatively, and then praying a sharing prayer that it wasn't just Beta, it was all of these hurricanes on all sides of our borders. And so it could be a positive prayer. And then what do we see? We see that it weakens. Now, you know, I just feel like that's Hashem. I'm not focused on the Yetzer Hara. So that's me.
Okay, I have a different one.
Go ahead, Brandy.
Well, I was listening. I was concentrating on what Baraka said, and I probably have heard it before, but I didn't realize that Gehenna was fire and water. And sometimes I deal interdimensionally with things. And is not the whole world right now in Gehenna? Because half of it is on fire and the other half of it is in water. And both of those are judgment.
And you don't remember when you were here and I told you about the two judgments, water and fire?
Well, probably so, Hannah, but I was just commenting on, I know what I just said, but I was commenting on what Baraka said. And sometimes I just don't remember sometimes.
Well, let me ask you this. Was Baraka on this message? Because I didn't hear a question from Baraka.
Yeah, because...
Oh, you mean the commentary. Oh, okay.
We had a commentary, yeah.
Okay.
He was responding to the commentary.
Okay. I thought you meant Baraka, who's with us.
No. She's not on. She has a particular family issue.
Okay.
But she's with us.
But she's with us in her
writing.
Not
physically, but she's with us in another dimension.
Correct.
Because the commentary puts her there.
Correct.
But because of her name. Right.
So she's with us. Her ideas and voicing her ideas and opinion, well, I can't say it, but I guess opinion, but the whole way, you know, she put everything together. So to me, that's what stood out, was the fire and the water in Gehenna right now, because that's what's going on interdimensionally with our world. It's kind of like you kind of picked us up and dropped us in.
My comment is there's nothing new under the sun, because we can go back to Noah and the flood, because there was fire and there was water as well.
Sure.
There was fire within the water.
And you can take it all the way back to Pharaoh's time with the fire and the water in it, and when it burned up the fields and the crops, and take it all the way back to that as well.
Mm-hmm. You're absolutely correct.
Judgment
is always in the two ways.
Yeah, and we're coming full circle in this world.
That is also correct.
Yeah, the end is in the beginning. The beginning is in the end, right?
That is correct. Exactly the point. And everybody is going to have free choice in how they respond to the various inputs that they're receiving. For example, Randy is saying it's the whole world is seeing fire and water. But in reality, it's focused on the United States. And Hana has given you an explanation as to what she has heard. I have heard similar things, but I've also heard different things. The major issue is it's not up to us to determine, it's not up to us to judge what we've heard It's up to us to evaluate what we've heard as to why we are hearing it. Why are we being exposed to this information, and what should we do with it? And we're going to be listening to the two voices in our heads. And there are two voices in our heads. Whether you accept that or you don't accept it, that's what the Zohar tells us. There are two voices speaking to us. One of them is the Yetzer Hara, and it's telling us to do things that will pull you away from Hashem. And the other is the Yetzer Hatov, and it's telling you to do things that will push you or pull you closer to Hashem. And it is our decision as to which voice we listen to. And what happens... May I finish? What happens is when you make a decision as to which of those two voices you're listening to, the other one falls into line and supports your decision, supports and strengthens the other one. So sometimes the Yetzer HaTov is now supporting the Yetzer Hara because that was the voice you listened to. And sometimes it's the Yetzer Hara who's supporting the Yetzer Tov because that was the voice you listened to.
But we've learned that when we do hear what we think is the Yetzer Hara, that we stop that thought. So that's
yep.
why if I had a direction to sing the Ma meditation all day, or this that came to me about Hashem will make a way where there is no way, them saying that there was no way a boat could get to them, well, to me, that's Hashem. Now, where I have to fight the Yetzer Hara is when other things creep in, like someone else will come to the door, and I have to stop and tend to that, and then get back to my thought of singing while I'm doing these other things. So, you know. And then you go sit down in your chair for a few minutes, and you fall asleep. And then when you wake up, you go again.
Well, I just want to mention, just so that you understand, that I cannot determine what is correct in this sense. But if you are doing good deeds, then you're going to be energized. And if you're not doing good deeds, you're going to be feeling a lack of energy. That's one of the clues to know which voice you've been listening to. It isn't always accurate. It isn't always 100%. And obviously, if we're going 25 hours a day, we're obviously going to be tired. But it's one of the tools to use to evaluate whether your actions have been from the positive side or not. And that is if you're feeling energized by your action. It's not a criticism, Pana. It's not a question.
I'm trying to give you insight. I think when I get excited, you think that I'm criticizing you, and I'm not. I'm just a passionate person.
I felt your passion. It's very clear.
Right. So I don't want you think I love you dearly.
That's not an issue. It's truly not an issue. I do not feel criticized by you.
Okay, good. Because I don't mean it that way.
All I'm trying to do is give you understanding of what is being said so that we can take it into our lives and utilize it, which is why I'm putting Bracha's comments on these verses, because I think it has merit for the questions that she's asking. It's questions we all need to be asking of ourselves. She's not asking for us. She's raising, I'm thinking she's trying to raise a consciousness. But I don't really know.
Like all my life, I followed those things. I learned a long time ago, what is your motive for everything you do? And I've learned something because, so I mean, these are things that are common sense to me. It's like I don't even basically think about it because it's part of me. You know, what's the right thing to do? And then what's your motivation? Is it because this person did something for you before and you feel like you owe them a favor? Or is it because Hashem is saying no to this one? You say no, even if they were the ones who helped you. You know, because he'll send someone to help. It may not be the person you helped. So, I mean, I've lived, I guess I'm too old, so I've lived long enough that I've experienced these things and I take them for granted, you know, so it doesn't necessarily come up in my conversation. Now, today, it was a wonderful, even though physically we were busy, but I got one message from one person who said, after yesterday, her having to deal with the mole and everything in her house, and she came for food from me, which was actually the last bit of food that we had left. In fact, Tony and I didn't have any, we had to scrounge to make something to eat because we don't have everything back, you know, food-wise. But right. It was my food, okay? Well, she tells me that they came into the apartment and they took down all that wall. Then another one who was in a Section 8 house called me from New Orleans and said that because yesterday she was really, really upset. And she said a bombshell had hit, that everything was destroyed. And she was coming back to Lake Charles to get her jewelry and then had to leave. But that was the only thing that she could salvage. And I told her that it may seem, you know, hopeless right now, but I know Hashem, that in the end it's going to turn out well. I can't tell you how, but I just know it does. And today she called to tell me that the apartment manager had called. This is another person in another apartment building, and that they were going to redo the apartments. It was going to be no more carpet. It was going to be new cabinets and stainless steel appliances. And virtually, it was like going to be a fresh new beginning for her. And she was going to be staying with her son in New Orleans until the apartment was ready. So there were two people who were crying yesterday and hungry. And today, what I told them came to pass. So, you know, so I don't know. I just think it's wonderful. Now, my roof is still not fixed. My yard is, we have electricity. We don't have any water in our house. We were really blessed and the amount of damages that we had. But for me this time, it was helping and dealing with other people. The people who ate with us for Rosh Hashanah, they were people, one who her husband had died. It was his second yahrzeit on Rosh Hashanah. She didn't want to be by herself. And another one that, you know, this, in other words, everyone that was there needed the companionship on Rosh Hashanah. And I had to cook every day in order to be able to put a meal together, you know, and I was so tired at the end of the day because it wasn't the end of the day. I had been working night and day for 5 days, and then the week before that with coming here and dealing with, you know, trash in the yard and damages and adjusters and basically my son with having lost his home. You know, so anyway.
I'm curious what happened with your son and the dog.
It hasn't come up, but today he says that his loan will be paid off, that the insurance company took care of that, and the amount that what would be his furniture will be his down payment on a new trailer and new mobile home. And he's already talked to someone about it, and it's coming. So they said next week that he should be able to get it. So see, Hashem took care of the, you see? And see, that's all those verses that we do for certainty every day. That even though you've been through the chaos, you know it's going to turn out all right. It may not be exactly what you wanted, but I knew Tony made the decision. He didn't want the dog here, and I really didn't want the dog here. And I tried to say as little, nothing about it, because I knew that if it was a bad answer, that maybe one day he would always think, well, his mom and dad didn't want him to come back home. And I wouldn't let myself think that. You know, I thought it once. And then when you said he was playing on my heartstrings, I knew, you know, I knew that's what he was doing. But I had to fight that thought. And anyway, he's got enough for a down payment. And they told him that by next week, he would have a new home. So, but can you say that Baruch Hashem?
Yeah, everything works out, and that's really what Bracha was saying. If you ask the questions, even if you don't get answers, the fact that you ask the question brings you into a different level where things do work out. But we are out of time.
Okay.
And tonight's class is an essay by the Ari. So I hope you'll join us for that at the later class, which is at 7 West Coast time. And tomorrow morning we will have Slichot, which is at 7 a.m. West Coast time. And we will continue with our study of the Sefer Yehoshua, the book of Joshua, at our 11 a.m. West Coast time class. And we'll return at this time for another Zohar, deeper Zohar. So everyone have a beautiful evening. I hope you had an easy fast if you fasted today. And we will speak soon. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Happy New Year.
Shalom. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.